Blog Talk Radio.
I love me better than that, yeah. I'm going to get my life back. As I look in the mirror, a broken woman I see. Broken down by the streets of life's journey, that broken woman is me. So I take me a little ride back down memory lane, past the verbal and the physical abuse and all the trauma and the pain. I've got to flee from this crazy situation, 'cause it's driving me insane. Now I'm packing up all of my broken pieces and the little bit of strength that remains. 'Cause
I love me
any sisters who will agree with me. It's time to come to your senses. It's time to face reality. I hear you, sister girl, when you're saying,
I just don't wanna be lonely.
But it's impossible to love somebody else when you don't even love yourself. It's time to flee from this crazy situation, 'cause it's driving you insane. Come on and pack up all your broken pieces and all the strength that remains. Pick up yourself and say,
I love me better.
I love me so much better.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Cheryl Cook, or I should say Stark. I just got married. Bravo, bravo, mazel tov. And so this is the day that the Lord has made. This is Tuesday, October the 18th, 2016. And boy, has this been a week. I was on last Friday starting the broadcast with one of my spiritual daughters was here from out of state, and my husband and I and the three of us were doing a broadcast, and I promised to come back on that week, but Hasatan, the devil, really tried to attack. Since that time, my husband has been hospitalized twice, but the devil is a liar. No matter what, we are getting out this broadcast on domestic violence. Hasatan, the devil, Satan, or whatever you want to call him, Lucifer, is just letting us know that this is a well-needed broadcast. You may have heard me earlier talking to my husband about, he just came home today, so I wasn't going to let him in this episode. So we solicit your prayers, and we ask that you continue to pray for my husband, Gordy. But meanwhile, we know that God is good. He is the healer of all our diseases. So we're going to go ahead and pray and get started with the broadcast. So, Father, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, God, for everything you've done, everything you're doing, and everything that you're going to do. You are an awesome God. You are truly amazing. Father, the things that you've done for our lives, Lord God, when the enemy would want to steal, kill, and destroy like a flood, the Holy Spirit is the flood that will rise up against the enemy. We thank you, Father, for keeping us safe and allowing no hurt, harm, or danger to come nigh our dwelling. Now, Father, we know that mankind has made October National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, but we know that somewhere every day around the world, there is a woman or a man that's going through physical abuse. So, Father, we ask that you would tear down every strategy of the enemy of the abuse that may be taking care, that may be taking hold within their household. We thank you, Father, that it's in that name, the name of Yeshua, the name of Jesus, Father, that all abuse is stopped, Father, that there will be no casualties, Father, that there will not be even any torment as the person goes to sleep at night to try to get away from all the thoughts and everything that abuse leaves. So we thank you for this in Yeshua's name. And we thank you, Father, that you're always willing to listen and to hear our prayers. We thank you for everything in Yeshua's name. We pray. Amen. So, Father, we thank you. Amen. So, anyway, last week we started just overall talking about abuse, what is domestic violence in general. And then we talked a hit a little bit about on all of them, physical, emotional, verbal, sexual, economic abuse. But as the days go by, we're just going to go into more detail for about a half hour or for about 20 minutes and speak on, like today we're going to do just physical abuse, and then later on, probably tomorrow around this time or sometime tomorrow, I'll come back on and do an episode just on emotional abuse so we can talk about this more. But I do teaching on domestic violence. It's not something that I read, but it's something that I know about. I went through more than one abusive marriage, but in one of those marriages, my ex-husband served time in prison for killing his girlfriend after we got a divorce. So we know that it can be a killing that occurs with domestic violence, but we don't want that to happen to anyone that we know. I know people get tired and they get wore out because usually they say, Cheryl, well, I've been talking to this person for a long time, and they just, this man or this woman just treating them so bad, and they just won't leave. But, you know, you can just keep talking to a person, just keep praying for them, and don't give up, because one of those talks are just going to really go in and pierce your spirit. But you cannot make them leave. They're going to leave when they get ready to leave. But meanwhile, don't let them wear you out. I don't care if it's your daughter, your niece, your cousin, or your mother, or whoever it is, the person that's going through it, don't let them wear you out. Now, when we talk about physical abuse, what are we saying? I'm going to give you some examples of what physical abuse actually is, because a lot of people, when I tell them, they say, I didn't know that was physical abuse, but it is. Physical abuse can be scratching, when someone scratches you, when they punch you, when they bite you, strangle you, kick you, throw something at you, like a phone book or their shoe or plate. They pull your hair. They're pushing or pulling you. They're grabbing your clothing. They're using a weapon such as a gun or a knife or a bat. They're smacking your bottom like you're their baby and going to give you a spanking. They're forcing you to have sex or perform a sexual act. They're grabbing your face to make you look at them. They're grabbing you to prevent you from leaving or forcing you to go somewhere that you don't want to go. Physical abuse can also be spitting. When somebody's in a physical abuse relationship and the people say, well, did they abuse you? No, they just spit on me. That's abuse. But you know who else was spit upon in the Bible? Yeshua, Jesus. Remember the scriptures talked about how they spit upon him and how they tortured him. He also went through physical abuse. Did you know that more than 10 million Americans are victims of physical abuse every year? 20 people are victims of physical violence every minute in the United States, and 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men is a victim of some form of physical violence by someone they know or a relative or someone, and 76% of intimate partner went through physical violence with their victims. And 24% of those are males. And like I said in the first episode, there's a lot of men that are actually physically abused as well. But no man wants to admit that they're being physically abused by their wives. But more and more men are beginning to speak out loud about doing this. But what a lot of men are doing, and this is where discernment comes in. You got to really be sharp about this. Now what men are doing, though, some men, not all of them, because there are some men that are genuinely being physically abused by their girlfriends, their wives, their lovers, or whoever. But what they are doing is they will beat you to the police department, or they will call the police before you do and tell the police that you are the one that's abusing him. Now, one of the things that I have to say up front, we're talking about domestic violence from a Christian perspective. God hates physical abuse. He hates any type of abuse. He did not make someone's son or someone's daughter to be spit upon, for someone to pull her hair, for someone to pull a weapon on her, for someone to hit her in the stomach, to slap her face or do anything like that. We were not, we did not come to this earth to be tortured or to be tormented. And when we're talking about domestic violence from a Christian perspective, we're talking about male-female relationships. Our God does not do male-male, female-female relationships. I mean, those relationships are doomed from the beginning, because God says those types of relationships are an abomination in his sight. And the Hebrew word for abomination actually means it makes God puke. It makes God so sick that he can't even stand to look at it. It makes him just want to vomit. That's what an abomination actually means. So we're not dealing it from that perspective. We're dealing it from a perspective where a man is with a woman, that type of abuse. So 1 in 7 women and 1 in 18 men are severely injured by an intimate partner in their lifetimes. Domestic violence accounts for 15% of all violent crimes in the U.S. A majority of physical abuse is committed by dating partners rather than spouses. Slightly more than half of intimate partners or physical violence is reported to law enforcement. And one of the things that we actually know, that domestic violence or physical abuse is very high in dating relationships, especially in teen relationships. Now, you may think as a person get older that they would know better than to be in an abusive relationship, as soon as it occurs that they would leave. But a lot of women, even women senior age, nobody likes to be by themselves. So there's a saying that a lot of women have said, a piece of a man is better than no man at all. But I always ask them, yeah, but what piece are you getting? God deals in a person that's whole. He doesn't give you a piece of anything. There's no scripture in the Bible that says, take a piece of a man. God wants you to be completely whole, completely well-rounded. And plus, ladies and gentlemen, you deserve better than that. You deserve a person who loves God. I tell women all the time, women, choose a man that if you're walking down the street and a car is coming, he would say, get back, baby, I got the car. That's how much he's supposed to love you. That's how much he's supposed to lay down his life for you. He is not supposed to be the type of man where he go get the car and try to hit you with the car like a lot of men have done in a domestic violence relationship. But then a lot of women have done it to their men as well, where they have actually gotten a car and tried to run them over. I watch Divorce Court. I love Lynn Toler. She's from where I'm from, Columbus, Ohio, and I think she gives some excellent advice. My husband and I both said the same thing. We think that she gives very good advice, she and Dr. Phil. Now, I haven't always agreed with both of them, but let's say 90% of the time I have agreed with both of them. But one of the couple of episodes that I watch on Divorce Court has been about where women have taken their cars and tried to run over the man. And she asked him, well, why'd you do that? You know you can go to jail for that. Well, he wouldn't do this or he wouldn't do that. No, that's not what you have to do. Before it boils down to physical abuse, somebody needs to leave. Now, we do not advocate divorce, but what we are saying is that, women, you need to get to a safe haven before someone gets killed. Because when you're in a domestic violence relationship and you're living with that person, you can't really think. You can't even really pray because you're constantly walking on eggshells, not knowing, is this the day that he or she is going to go off? Because a lot of people say, well, why do they stay in that relationship? Because every day is not a bad day. Some days you feel like, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Yeshua. He's finally changing. She's finally changing. And then it'll come back into the cycle, like I talked about the last time, the first program that we did, on the tension-building stage, the romantic stage, I mean the abusive stage, and then the actual romantic or the honeymoon stage where they'll make up to you and say they'll never do it again when they do. So those days sometimes are far and few between, but unless they get help, unless they cry out to God for true repentance and deliverance, they have not changed. And that's why I say you don't go running back to the person right away just because he said he's changed. It takes time for a tree to bear fruit, and you judge a tree by the fruit that it bears. The book of Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Is this person showing you the fruit of the Spirit? Are they showing you love, joy, kindness? Can you walk into your house? When you get ready to enter your house, and you touch that garage door, getting ready to enter into your home, and you're feeling as if, Father, what is it going to be today? What is the temperature in my house? And we're not talking about cold or freezing or hot. What is the temperature when dealing with your spouse? Because one of the things I have to say, too, is that, if I have not said it before, because repetition bears retention. Sometimes you got to say things over and over, repeating them so it will sink into a person's spirit, man, because God is not into people living together. God does not bless mess. Don't ask him to bless a situation and you're living together. God does not do any preview marriages. He said marriage. He did not say living together. Remember the woman at the well when Yeshua, Jesus, said to her, you've been married five times. Okay, she was married five times. And when you read it from the actual text, you'll see he wasn't really getting on her for being married five times. But this is a part where he was stern with her. And he said, the man you're with now is not even your husband. Now, I don't know if she was living with the man or whatever, but whatever Yeshua was trying to say to her, whatever Jesus was trying to say to her, this relationship is not right. It's not right at all. So we got to be sure that the person that you choose, he's got to love the Lord. She's got to love the Lord. Now, you may be saying, sure, I don't want to hear all that stuff. I don't want to say nothing about God and all this. Look, without God, you're not going to make it in an abusive relationship. In any type of domestic violence relationship, it's not going to work. Because the Bible says that the thief, which is the devil, cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. He wants to get you out of this life. He does not care how he does it. There's so many women. I have watched this program that comes on TV1 called Fatal Attraction. Oh, my God. All the things, the cases, these are real cases of African-American women who have died at the hands of being in a domestic violence relationship. And it's not only African-American women, I mean white women, Asian women, because it is sin. Sin does not discriminate. There's women all over the world that are going through an abusive relationship. We think about sex slaves nowadays, or sex trade, where women are getting into and they're just selling them all, these children, these young women. But it says in Luke 4:18, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to announce that captives shall be released and the blind shall see, that the downtrodden shall be freed from their oppressions, and that God is ready to give blessings to all who come to him. We must come to him. If you're living with someone, I tell you today, get on your knees. Father, I repent. Get me out of this relationship. My prayer and things like that, I said, Father, get me out of this relationship without anybody getting hurt. But let him know, let her know that this is your will. Because this is Jesus talking in Luke 4:18. And he said that he came to heal the brokenhearted. What makes a man or a woman stay in an abusive relationship? Some women think that's all they can get. Some men think that's all they can get. Children grow up to be a product of their environment. If they grew up in a home where there is domestic violence or where there was physical abuse, they're going to think that it was normal behavior, that, hey, this is life and this is how it's supposed to be. I mean, a lot of women now in their 80s, they think that, honey, is this what they call abuse? I mean, Henry slaps me every Friday night and he gets drunk. I just thought that was Henry being here. No, honey, that's called physical abuse. And don't ever let the perpetrator tell you, oh, it was the alcohol or the drugs that did it. No, no, no. They did it because they wanted to. If you listen to part one of this, my husband has been in recovery for 40 years. Praise God. He's an amazing Christian man. I just really love him. He was talking a little bit about that. He will come back on. If you heard me in the first part of this, you heard me talking to him before we went on air. But anyway, I was telling him he just came in from the hospital. So I told him I'll let him do his part probably like Friday, where he gets on and talk about the effects of alcohol and drugs and how it plays in domestic violence. Now, that there is hope for a person who is going through this. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, you can't make the other person change. They have got to want to have the desire to change for themselves. Your best bet is to make the great escape. But you may say, but Cheryl, I love them. I don't want to leave. Honey, don't think about yourself. Think about your children. This is one time where you cannot be self-centered. Because, as I say, 80% of the men who are incarcerated now are incarcerated because they came from an abusive home background. My husband and I both have done a lot of prison ministry. And I met a lot of guys that have said to me, where were you when I was out there? You know, my girlfriend tried to tell me the same thing that you're telling me now. If only I would have listened to her. Or I grew up in a home just like this. I didn't know any better. I didn't have a dad to tell me anything. My stepmother treated me like crap, and my dad would just smack me all around. I didn't know any better. Okay, now you know better. You heard the message. You heard the word. Stop it. Stop it. God wants every type of abuse to end. He doesn't want it anymore. Now, according to the Jewish custom, now we are in the Feast of Tabernacle, the Feast of Booths, whatever you want to call it. And this is a time when they built sukkahs and they stay outside and they sleep in it, they eat in it, and they sit under stars and they just talk to God. And they leave their homes and they go and stay in this sukkah for a few days. Okay, where is your sukkah? Sometimes you have to go and stay somewhere else. And get under the stars somewhere else and go elsewhere and talk to God about your situation. He is there to help you in the time of need, in the time of trouble. He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. don't let the enemy take over your mind by saying, don't leave, he's going to stay. He's going to change. Don't leave, she's going to change. Don't leave. No, 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 no. The Father has work for you to do. He wants you to do your job and do your job well. You were put here on earth for a purpose. You just were not born because your parents happened to come together that night. No. You were put here for a purpose. You were put here for a reason. You may say, Cheryl, well, you don't know what I've done. Who cares? The Bible says that all sin will be forgiven, even suicide, even abortion. The only sin that will not be forgiven is to speak against the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus died, so that we would have a right to the tree of life. So before this broadcast ends today, I'm going to play Shirley Murdoch's song, Love Me Better Than That, because it really, really talks about domestic violence. And I just really want you all to listen to the words and to know that you have a purpose. Your purpose was not to be beat up on, to have a weapon pulled up on you, to be shot with a gun, to be stabbed with a knife, to hit you so bad that it runs up your blood pressure and it sends you into a stroke. It sends you into a heart attack or anything that could happen to you. So this is Cheryl Starks. Until tomorrow, may God bless you. Have a good day.
As I look in the mirror, a broken woman I see, broken down by the streets of life's journey. That broken woman is me. So I take me a little ride
back down memory lane,
past the verbal and the physical abuse and all the trauma and the pain. I've got to flee. All of my broken pieces and the little bit of strength that remains. But I love me sisters who will agree with me. It's
peace, baby.